In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In light of these words from our Lord, listen to these words from one of our hymns. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for captives' liberty, was also shed in love for me. During our Lord's earthly ministry, the scribes and Pharisees were considered the most holy and righteous Jews in all of Israel. They were the ones who knew and followed the law. Now our Lord says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, what trouble our Lord lays upon his disciples' hearts. As faithful Jews, they had hoped merely to imitate the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. But here our Lord calls upon them to exceed and surpass that righteousness, that is, to be even more righteous. These words only left one thought in their minds. Who then can be righteous? Who then can be saved? We too hear these words and wonder, how can we be saved? Is there any hope? Even today, scribes and Pharisees remain in our midst. They are the ones who are very willing to tell you and to let their lives serve as examples to you, and they're willing to show you and to tell you how you should live in order to please God. You know who they are. You've met them. They eat the right foods, listen to the right music, wear the right clothes, pray the right way, and so on and so forth. Like the Pharisees of old, these people think that if only you lived like them, God would be pleased with you. But in truth, your holiness and righteousness must surpass the righteousness of these modern day Pharisees in order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. The problem for all those who are like the scribes and Pharisees is that our righteousness falls short of God's expectation, falls vastly short of his expectation. All of our righteousness, which we think we can fulfill, is but filthy rags before him. The one big problem with our righteousness is that it is our righteousness. As such, our righteousness is never enough, never sufficient. Even our secular culture wants to get in on this righteousness business. There are all sorts of people out there in the world who want to define what they believe righteousness should be, what the right life should be, whether it's the theology, I'm using that, the theology of Black Lives Matter, or critical race theory, or the tenets of climate change or global warming, or the doctrines of socialism, social justice, homosexuality, or the science. Each of them is a mere religion. And it is a religion. These are religions which assert their key initiatives as the standards by which we can obtain what they believe is good and right. According to them, if you do not subscribe to or abide by their teachings, you are evil. Unless you join their religion and confess their faith, you are a hater and are destroying the world. Accordingly, you must be canceled. Listen again to this list of modern secular religions. When you hear of them on the news or from the mouths of friends and family, remember these are religions. Equity, diversity, inclusivity, Black Lives Matter, critical race theology, climate change, global warming, socialism, social justice, or that little phrase we keep hearing, the science. Those who embrace and follow the teachings of these religions are not listening to Christian doctrine. They are not listening to the voice of Jesus. They are trying to find a righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. We must be ever vigilant against these false religions. It is easy for us to be drawn into them by friends and family. We must not look to the world for what is good and right, but to God's word. In today's gospel, our Lord reveals the depth of the Pharisees' sin, and likewise the depth of your sin. Indeed, you heard that you are a murderer, as revealed by your evil thoughts and anger toward others. And just following today's gospel, you would hear that you are an adulterer, as revealed by your impure and unholy sexual thoughts and desires towards someone who is not your spouse, or have withheld love from your spouse. In truth, the law of God accuses each one of us. And before the righteous law of God, we all stand guilty, from greatest to least, from oldest to youngest. The righteousness of the Pharisees, the righteousness of our woke culture, the righteousness of all those who want to show you how you must live your lives better, is a righteousness founded upon the good works or the works of man. They believe that somehow it is possible to please their God with a good life. But a righteousness founded upon the works of man, that is founded upon what we define as good works, is a false righteousness and will lead to eternal damnation in hell. Our Lord reveals that no one, not even the supposedly holy Pharisees, is truly holy. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If no one is holy and righteous, how then can we or anyone be saved? How can there be a righteousness which exceeds all human righteousness? It is at this point we need to listen to the voice of Jesus, who said, "Your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I have compassion on the multitude." This is what he's speaking about when he's thinking of you and me, to forgive sins, to have compassion upon you, to fulfill the law in your place. From his lips comes forth mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. There are two sources of righteousness, one found in man, the other found in Jesus. The righteousness of man, the righteousness of good works, is a false righteousness. It is the world's righteousness. It is the righteousness of Christ, which is the true righteousness of God. There is only one righteousness which surpasses all other righteousness. It is the righteousness of Christ. Christ alone lived the holy and perfect life. He alone did not sin, although he was tempted in every way that we are tempted. He alone could claim the status as the beloved Son of God. He alone had no spot or blemish. He alone exhibited perfect and absolute trust in his heavenly Father. The only way for you to have a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is to have Christ's righteousness. His righteousness alone covers all your sin. His righteousness makes you acceptable to God. Only with Christ's righteousness will you enter into heaven. St. Paul reveals who Christ's righteousness is given to. You heard it in today's epistle, just these few words summarizing it. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. To be buried with Christ and raised with him is to be joined with him, to be in union with him. Thus, his righteousness is given to you. The righteousness found in good works leads to death, eternal death. This righteousness which Christ bestows upon you, the righteousness to which you have been joined in your baptism, is the righteousness of Christ, and it gives life, eternal life. You have a righteousness which the world cannot offer, and it's freely given to you in Jesus. There is no forgiveness in the woke religions of our modern age. There is no forgiveness in other religions. As such, there is no forgiveness. Where there is no forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, there is no true and lasting righteousness before God. That's the key for you and me, the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. That is where your righteousness has been established. You have what the world cannot give. You have Jesus. You have been joined with Jesus. You have Jesus' righteousness. In the waters of your baptism, you were brought forth through death into life through the blood of Jesus. You were given his righteousness. In his baptism, our Lord clothed himself in your sin. In his baptism, our Lord clothed himself with our sin, with our corruption. He became our sin bearer. He who was holy and righteous before his Father became vile and corrupt. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The only thing Christ wanted to cancel was your sin. He wanted to dissolve it, make it gone. And so Christ willingly bore your sin and the punishment for your sin. What you are, sinful and unclean, he became, so that you would become what he is, holy and righteous. St. Paul says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You just sang this verses of this hymn. All mankind fell in Adam's fall, one common sin infects us all. From one to all the curse descends, and over all God's wrath impends. But Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sin and woe and shame, to be our life, our light, our way, our only hope, our only stay. As by one man all mankind fell, and born in sin was doomed to hell, so by one man who took our place, we are all justified by grace. We are righteous in Christ. You have Christ's righteousness, which surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and even surpasses the righteousness of this woke world. Christ's righteousness is received by faith as his gift. It is given to you as the gospel is proclaimed and you receive his sacraments. Christ is your righteousness. In the waters of your baptism, your sinful flesh, with its works leading to death, was killed, and the new man, Christ, was raised up in you. Through Jesus' blood and merit, I am at peace with God. What then can daunt my spirit, however dark my road? My courage shall not fail me, for God is on my side. Though hell itself assail me, its rage I may deride. This new man, the one who is at peace through the merits of blood and merit of Jesus, this new man lives before Christ in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness forever. In union with Christ, you are a new creation, without spot or blemish, at peace with God. In union with Christ, you have a place in your heavenly Father's kingdom. In union with Christ, you kneel at his table to eat and drink his holy, precious, and righteous body and blood, by which you are consumed into his righteousness. Remember that you are consumed into him as you eat and drink of his very body and blood. In union with Christ, your sins are forgiven and you shall live. This is Christ's righteousness. And Christ's righteousness is your righteousness. With his righteousness, you will enter into the kingdom of heaven as a forgiven child of God, holy, pure, and undefiled. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.